Very glad you came back this evening, those of you who are here this morning and those of you who weren't here this morning. Glad you came for the first time today, this evening. We do have guests, and if you are a guest, we appreciate you. We, as we said this morning, know you could have chosen to be somewhere else, but you chose to be here. We really, really, really very much appreciate that. What we're doing on Sunday nights is connecting Sunday morning to another lesson so we get a little bit more, so we can have some application, so we can delve into the subject a bit more. I've had a bit of trouble a few weeks because some of these lessons have been an introduction to the concept that we're going to look at several different lessons throughout the year. That was the case this week, that it's an introductory lesson. However, I think that there is a lot of information that we can go on into about being too comfortable, or about trusting God, about gelling. Remember we said this morning about the Dr. Scholl's campaign a few years ago that they asked in the commercials, "Are you gelling?" "Yes, I'm gelling like a felon." "That's right, Helen. Would you like a piece of melon?" That was a good, successful campaign. It really brings a smile to my face. So that's what we asked this morning. And with Christianity, we definitely have difficulties on our journey. Remember we said that we are on this journey, that we have a start and we have a goal, and we're trying to get to the goal. The goal is spiritual maturity. The goal is saved souls. The goal is heaven. But on that road to heaven, on the way to spiritual maturity, we have mountains to climb over, we have rivers to traverse, we have obstacles we've got to go around or go through, or whatever may be the case. And sometimes it would be nice to have a gel insert in your shoe through some of those things to prevent bunions and to prevent ingrown toenails and all the other things that could be very unpleasant and painful. That would definitely make it a bit more comfortable. So we said that it was difficult, and we said that God would supply blessings and benefits along the way that will make the Christian journey more pleasant and more comfortable. So we said that in all of those things that we actually as Christians get some things that non-Christians don't. We have more fulfillment in some of the things that we can do in our service, in our activities. We can't do some of the activities as far as to the same volume or to the same extent or to the same degree that non-Christians can. However, we find more fulfillment in the things that we can do and the things that we choose to do and the things that we get to do, experiencing God in worship and so on and so forth. So I want to delve a bit more into the subject of our comfort tonight. Did I put up a theme slide? I think I did, didn't I? Yeah. Our theme for this year is Take the Next. All right. So that's what we're trying to do here, which goes along, of course, with the gel inserts and with the journey and all of those things that we're doing. So that's what we're doing all of this year. I want you to turn, if you will, to the book of 1 Chronicles. Very early in the book of 1 Chronicles, I want you to take just a minute or two, and I'll give you about 15 or 20 seconds, not very long, because I don't want to take too much of our time for you to do that, but I want you to skim the first few chapters of 1 Chronicles, and I want you to tell me some of the things that you see there, or think about some of the things that you see. What stands out to you in 1 Chronicles, the first few chapters? A bunch of names. Thank you, Jeremy. Now, how interesting are those names to you? I mean, there might be some fascinating stories behind some of those names, but to us as Gentiles, as individuals who weren't from the same culture as the Israelites to whom it was written, some of those things aren't quite as important. But if you look through that, if you took the time to just read, mostly all you'll see through there is a bunch of names. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so did this, and so-and-so did a few things, but very, very little information about it until you get to about chapter 4. In chapter 4, about verse 9, it introduces us to a man named Jabez. I don't know if that's the proper pronunciation, but that's how I'm going to pronounce it this evening, Jabez, because I like Jabez better than Jabez for pronunciation. It just sounds cooler. So Jabez, it says in verse 9, was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain, Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, that in that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. The name Jabez literally means pain, or someone who will bring pain. I think I'll mention that just a bit later. But he prayed for some of these things, that it wouldn't be that way. Help me that I might not bring pain, it says in verse 10. I think that we definitely like comfort. Comfort, if you want to define it, it's not going to be on the PowerPoint. I think I forgot to put it up there. But if you're following along in your sermon guide, the blanks there, if you want to define comfort, is going with the flow, doing what's easy, doing what feels nice, all right? We like comfort. We like just going with the flow, don't we? Well, I don't want to rock any boats here. I don't want to cause any trouble, so I'm just going to do what's comfortable to me, all right? But I think if we look at Jabez, we would definitely say, since he's human, since he is like us, people have very similar natures to us, that he most likely liked comfort as well. I think that I could, without much hesitation, say that everyone in this room likes things that are comfortable. We like our lazy boys. We like a plush couch. We like a warm house in the wintertime, and we like a cool house in the summertime. We like clothes that feel nice and soft, and like a nice hug around you. You know, we like things like that because they're comfortable. So I would suggest to you that Jabez liked comfort as well, but what we see here is that he didn't necessarily choose the way of comfort. He was more honorable than his brother. He wanted success. He wanted to overcome. And all of those things, if you want success, if you want to overcome, it means that you must get out of your comfort box, that you've got to extend yourself a bit. That's where what growth happens. That's where it happens. Whenever you get out of your comfort zone, whenever you try, whenever you fail sometimes, you grow from all of those things. So I suggest to you that Jabez liked comfort like we liked comfort, but he wanted something that was outside of the way of comfort, because that was better for him. He wanted that success. He wanted to overcome, and God granted him these requests. God, I submit to you, is not as interested in our physical comfort as much as he is our growth. It says in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says in 2 Peter 2 and verse 2, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may be comfortable with it. All right? No, that's not what it says, of course. It says that you may grow thereby. What we see in the New Testament is that God's not always searching for our comfort. He's not trying to get us comfort in this life. Instead, he's trying to get us to grow. He wants us to come closer to him. He wants us to grow closer to each other. Isn't that God's desire for us? He wants what's best for us. God is our creator. God is our maker. He's the one who cares for us more than anyone else. He's the one who knows us better than anyone else. I know my wife pretty well, and my wife knows me pretty well. Sometimes she can guess what I'm about to say whenever I'm saying a sentence. I'll stop for a moment trying to collect my thoughts, and she'll know exactly what I'm about to say because we've been around each other so very long. But you know what? God knows me even better than that. I know Benjamin, and I know Maya, and I know Solomon very well. I've been in their lives for as long as they've been around. But you know what? God knows them better, you see? He made us. He formed us in our mother's womb. So he wants what's best for us, and that is growth. He wants us to take that next step, right? Doesn't he? Because that's what's good for us. He does comfort us. I want you to realize that. But the comfort that he gives us isn't necessarily the physical and material comfort. It's more spiritual comfort. It's more emotional comfort. In fact, it says in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, that God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So again, he is more interested in our growth, and that comes through difficulty. It says in about verse 22 of Acts 14, and that after they had made many disciples in Lystra and Iconium, they went about strengthening souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Through tribulations, you see? So through these difficulties, through all of these things, it makes us better, you see? Well, what's amazing about all the things that happened to us, and I know you've seen these things in your life if you've been around the block two or three times, you've seen almost the exact same situation happen to one individual that happens to another individual. One individual will reject God, will say, I'm not interested in God, will walk away from God, and the other individual will cling closer to God. Someone dies who you love very much, someone who's hurting. Any of these things might happen to you. You go through financial difficulties, you go through troubles. And one individual says, well, I can't count on God. And the other individual says, God is all I can count on. You see? I can't count on these things at all. So I want us to look for just a moment at Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10. Let's read it once more and then make a few notes about it. And I have a short video that I want to show at the very end. Yeah. I'm showing you a video, about 3 minutes long, but the whole idea is about comfort and about getting out of our comfort zones. And also, if you have a sermon guide, I'm not going to refer to it, but on the back I printed something that I found that I thought was pretty interesting about some signs that you might be a bit too comfortable or that you're not doing necessarily the things that you ought that might challenge you a bit. Now, this isn't a biblical list at all, but it's something that might be very helpful to you. Let's read again the verses and then make the comments. Verses 9 and 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez. Again, pain, saying, because I bore him in pain, Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. First thing that I think that we can notice, perhaps, is that God wants us to have more than just a name and a genealogy. Jabez sticks out in Chronicles, at least the first few chapters, because he's not just a name. It says something about Jabez. God wants us to make a difference, I believe. I think that he has us in this world. Now, you correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I think he has us in this world to make a difference. He put us in the places that we are to influence the people whom we have influence over, our neighbors, our employees, our employers, our coworkers, our friends, our family. He wants us to make a difference. In fact, I wanted to mention 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 about no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man, for God who will with the temptation provide you a way of escape that you may be able to bear it, you see? So he provides us a way of escape, but I also suggest that maybe with that passage you can suggest that he gives us opportunities for good things. There's two ways you can sin, of course. There are sins of commission that you can commit something that you're not supposed to do, or you could omit something that you are supposed to do. So, for instance, I could lie on my taxes, as I mentioned this morning. That's a difficult thing to do, to tell the tax man the truth, because it's going to cost you more money if you tell him the truth than if you tell him a lie. I could tell him a lie, and that would be a sin of commission. I committed a sin by lying. Or I could fail to do good whenever I have the power to do good, and that is a sin of omission. So God gives us these opportunities, and he gives us these chances to do these things that he wants us to do. He's given us these gifts. He's given us these talents to make a difference. Again, Ephesians 4 and verse 28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So he says work, not so you can gather up all your funds, so you can have all of this money, so you can retire early or whatever the case may be. He says work so that whenever someone has a need that you can give to the person who has need. And I know many of you don't struggle with that at all, but the point again is that he wants us to make a difference. He puts us here to make a difference. We're told that we're stewards in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, that the things that God has given us, he's provided for us to use for his glory. Fear God and keep his commandments, it says in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. This is the whole duty of man. He's made us to bring him glory. He's made us to honor him. He's made us to bring other people to him, you see? But we can choose to do that or not. And if you have time, if you want to, when you get home this evening, read 1 Corinthians 12, especially verses 7 through 26. It talks about the different gifts that individuals have. And I know, of course, that we don't have some of the miraculous gifts that we see in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 and other passages, but I do suggest that we still have gifts. And it says there, if you'll keep on reading in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 7, going to about verse 26, that God made us with different skills and different talents. There are some people in this room who are so talented in areas that I have no ability whatsoever. Now, I'm not saying that I couldn't develop some of those abilities a bit more, but there are individuals in here who are very artistic. There are individuals in here who can carry a tune very well, and there are individuals in here, i.e. myself, who cannot carry a tune very well. Again, some of those things can be developed, but some of you have very much natural skill in those areas, and God can use you in those areas. Some of you are ears, and some of you are hands, and some of you are feet, and some of you are mouths, and some of you are eyes, and so on and so forth, you see? And God uses all of you for the building up of the body, that we're to work together, you see? He wants you to be more. Listen to what I'm saying here. He wants you to be more than just a name and a genealogy. You see, 10 or 15 or 20 years after I die, people might remember something that I did, or they might not. Oh, there was, you know, Daniel. He was your great-grandfather, but he didn't really do anything. He's just, you know, there. Wouldn't that be sad? That's kind of what we read about most of these individuals in the book of 1 Chronicles in the first few chapters. They're just names. But not Jabez. Jabez prayed to God. He was more than just a name and a genealogy. In fact, we could go on and say that he wants us to not just be a name and a genealogy. He wants us to be bearers of the name of Christ. You see? We're image bearers of God, and we wear the name of Christ. We are Christians. And you've, of course, heard what Christian means. If you take Christ out of Christian, then you have the letters I-A-N, which stands for I ain't nothing. All right? We are image bearers of Christ. And if you take Christ out of Christian, then we're nothing. We're nothing apart from him. I can do all things through who strengthens me? Christ. Only Christ can strengthen us. These things it says in the gospel accounts, these things are impossible with man, but all things are possible with God. Let's move on. Number two, a thing that we can see perhaps about Jabez, that God wants us to overcome difficulties in life. God wants us to overcome difficulties in life. He doesn't always grant miraculous healing to people, does he? How many of you have prayed for pain to go away immediately, and it took a while? How many of you have had knee surgeries or other things that you hobble around for a while? This is the first day I've seen Bill without a cane in a long time, and he might still be in pain, right? My dad had knee surgery a few years back, and he said, I'm always in pain. It's just a different kind of pain from this knee surgery that I had. So we could pray for that pain to be removed, but God might not remove it. And we could look at individuals in the New Testament. What about Paul? Paul prayed for his thorn in the flesh to be removed three times, and God said no. He said, my grace is sufficient for you because my grace is made perfect in weakness. You see? So because you're weak, then you're strong because you're in Jesus, because you've got the power of God, right? So he doesn't always grant miraculous healing to people, but he does help allow people to change if they let him. Does that make sense? He does allow people to change. He does help people to change if they let him. Abram turned into what? Abram was his first name, and then it was something else. Abraham, right? Sarah, his wife, was something else before she was Sarah. Sarai, right? Now, we don't know exactly the significance of some of those differences with Abraham and Abram and Sarai and Sarah, but we do know the difference between Jacob and Israel. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Israel means, do you remember? Prince of God. Prince of God. Do you remember what Jacob means? Supplanter. Deceiver. So God said, I'm going to allow you to change. I'm going to help you to change. I'm going to send you over here, and I'm going to make you work 14 years for your wives, Leah and Rachel, and I'm going to make you do all of these things or allow all these things to happen, and I'm going to open you up to all of these growth opportunities, and if you follow through with this opportunity that I'm giving you, then I can change your name. Instead of being a deceiver, a supplanter, a heel grabber, instead of being a trickster, you can be a prince of God. You can wrestle with me, and you can overcome. You see? Isn't that amazing how God gives us the chance? I have been a failure in my life. I have failed so many times. I'm 31. Some of you in here are much older than that. Maybe you failed more than I have. Maybe I failed way more than you. But here's the fact. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. We've all failed in one area or another. But God gives us a second chance. God is so good because he is the God of second chances. He forgives us over and over and over again. Jabez overcame. Jabez, again, means pain, affliction, or he will cause pain. What a thing to name a child. Well, you were a tough one to bear, so I'm going to name you Pain. Not only pain, I'm going to name you, you will cause more pain, because if you cause any more than what you already caused me, then that's going to be a huge amount of pain, right? His name was, he will cause pain, but he prayed that he would be kept from harm and kept from causing pain. What did God do? What Jabez did was overcome what he could have been and became what he wanted to be through the power of God. So again, there's this overcoming, there's this getting outside of your comfort zone. How easy would it have been to just say that I'm just stuck this way? There was a man in New York City, I think, who named his first son Winner and his second son Loser. You ever heard that story before? Named his first son Winner and his second son Loser. Loser started going by Lou, but Winner was constantly in jail, constantly having all sorts of problems. Loser became very successful in New York City, became a high muck in the police department there. So the point is that you don't have to be what people say you are, right? People said about Jesus that he was a drunkard, that he was a sinner, that he did all these things. They said about John the Baptist that he had a demon. But we aren't what people say we are. We can overcome with the power of God. Have you ever heard of a woman named Wilma Rudolph before? In the area where I'm from, Kentucky, Tennessee area, she's a bit more famous. There's a Wilma Rudolph Boulevard, like in every town in West Tennessee. And Wilma Rudolph, I never heard about who she was until I came across this preparing for my lesson. But Wilma Rudolph was born, I think she was born, here's what it says about her. She was the 16th of 18 children in a poor black family in Middle Tennessee in the 1960s. As I understand history, that was a difficult time to grow up in the South, being an African American, and that's the way she grew up. 16th of 18. She was born weighing only 4 pounds and 1 ounce. At the age of 4, she contracted polio and lost the use of her left leg. The battle with polio left her weakened, and she immediately developed chronic pneumonia and scarlet fever. Even though she managed to survive those deadly diseases, she spent the bulk of her childhood as a cripple. It was only through years of therapy, which her mother carried her to on her day, one day off a week, and determination that Wilma was able to regain the use of her left leg. So this lady who was born premature, who lost the use of her leg because of scarlet fever, because of polio, because of being born premature, because of all of these things, she overcame that because of constant therapy, because of the work of the people around her. And not only that, she competed in the Olympics. She played in high school basketball, setting a single season record for the most points scored, 803 in 25 games. That sounds like a lot. In 1960, Wilma Rudolph represented the United States in the Olympics, which was held in Rome, Italy, and she won gold medals in all three of the events in which she competed in both the 100-meter dash and the 200-meter dash. She finished at least 3 yards in front of her closest competitor. She tied the world record in the 100-meter and set a new record for the 200. In the 400-meter relay, she brought her team from behind to win the gold. The point in that is that this was the classic example of an underdog. And she was the youngest child born premature in a place that it was difficult for her to be, a place and time for her to be difficult for her to be an African-American. And what's going on here? She overcomes all of those things. How amazing is that? You see? And that's the same thing with Jabez. His name was Pain, but he overcame that. The third lesson that we might be able to get from this is that God wants us to be confident in his power. God wants us to be confident in his power. What does it say that Jabez did there in about verse 10 or so? He called upon the God of Israel. He prayed. One of the things that it notes on that list of 10 things on the back of your sermon guide is that maybe there's a problem if you feel like your prayers aren't going, you know, through the roof, past the level of the roof. If you feel like your prayers aren't getting to God, maybe there is something wrong. Jabez said it says that he talked to God.
God has given us the same opportunity that he was given. In Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. There's a fourth lesson that I don't really see in the text, but I think that we might be able to make the case. And that's that God wanted Jabez to live a life without regret. To live a life without regret. I think now, Brian, would be a good time to show that video if you'd like to. Watch this video for just about 3 minutes. Our spirituality, we would have regrets that would go along not taking opportunities to serve God, perhaps, learning more scripture or whatever else it may be. Theirs were often, more materialistic, more worldly, more things that have to do with this realm and this plane of existence instead of what goes on beyond. But isn't the concept the same? I think that that if we are afraid to get out of our comfort zones, if we're afraid to talk to people about Jesus, if we're afraid to do some of those things, we're going to miss opportunities and we're going to have some of the same regrets that they had. Jabez, I believe, God wanted him to live a life without regret. And I think that God wants that for us as well. My question for you in all of those things this morning, and we're talking about gelling this morning, and there being blessings alongside, but one of the reasons I wanted to preach this message is so you don't get the idea that the whole idea is about the comfort. The whole idea is that there are aids and there are comforts along the way. There is tools to help us, and there are so many blessings for us. But that the Christianity, the meat of it, the root of it is service and living for Jesus and moving forward toward that goal. And when we do those things, we're going to be noticed and we're going to be different, just like Jabez was. Any comments or question about that very quickly? Okay, let's bow and pray. Father God, we are so thankful for this time together. We're so thankful that you've promised us blessings and that you've promised us some comfort in this life, but it's not really about the comfort. It's about getting out of our comfort zones. It's about serving you and about bringing people to you and about living the life that you've had set before us, not out of shame or guilt, but out of love and dedication and devotion to you. And Father, we pray that you'll bless our attitudes this week and this month and this year, that as we take the next step on our journey every day and we struggle to do some of those things, that you will help us and that you'll bless us. And we're looking forward to seeing what some of those blessings are this year. And Father, this evening, we pray that you'll help us to get out of our comfort zones and to bring people to you. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. We haven't talked about the plan of salvation, but God's plan is clear. If you want to know how to do that, if you don't know, we'll be glad to help you and find and show you the passages that'll teach you what to do to be saved and to accept God's grace. But maybe you've been saved, but you've slipped away. If you need something from us in a public way, let us know. Maybe now, as together we stand and as we sing.